Silent night, when God came down as a holy child. Mary was starting to feel the labor. The inn was full, so they went to the stable. The town was buzzing and full of life. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Well, baby, Jesus was meek and mild. The barnyard gang was going wild. The camel spitting, the donkeys kicking. The mother hen chasing baby chicken. Not a soul gonna sleep tonight. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Now go. But a silent night, well, the angels sang so all could hear. The king is born, but do not fear. You'll find him in a manger low, but he'll grow up and save your soul. The trumpet blast shook the sky. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Glory, glory, what's it? Traveled down until they arrived at Bethlehem town. Praise the Lord, what a sight. Anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Oh, yeah. Glory, glory, what's it to you? God sent his son to get us right. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
fame from far and wide, just to stand by that baby's side. The glory stream from up above, he is light and he is love. The cows are restless, the baby's crying, it's anything baby but a silent night.
Glory,
up in here. There's a baby born. Jesus, the Lord's son. Can't be quiet.
The skies don't seem to be as dark as usual. The stars seem brighter than they've been. Deep within, I feel my soul stirring, as though my hope has been restored. The shepherds say they've heard the voice of angels, confirming rumors spread across the land that a child protected well from is our Father's Son and the Son of Man. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here I can tell. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, Emmanuel. He's the Savior we have been praying for in our humble. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, Emmanuel. I feel compelled to tell all who live now that peace on earth is not so out of reach. If we can find grace and mercy,
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.
Good evening, everybody. This is Jerry. It is Tana's sort of night, but she has family in town, and she's spending time with them. And so I thought I would take advantage of that to do a Thursday evening show. The last show I did, I was strongly led to basically everything in the title page was about this, seemingly about this Brexit vote, which is the British exit from the European Union, especially the financial arrangements. And this is, today is the vote, and the voting should be done by now, except for whatever falsifying of ballots that's going to go on as they count overnight. And so that is the matter of the moment. It's important because there's only two truly viable major economies in Europe, and a lot of sickly ones that need continuous help. And the two healthy ones, relatively speaking, because none are truly healthy in traditional measures. But by current standards, the ones that are not persistently in the red are Great Britain and Germany. Germany is the most prolific economy in Europe, and they will be alone if Great Britain votes to exit the European Union. Now, this is the vote. Just because there's a vote doesn't mean it actually happens overnight. There's a lot of histrionics with these things. It's interesting that so much of the measuring of reaction to this event is in financial markets. But the reason is partly because of this economic weakness of the European Union. They're all socialist economies. And quite frankly, it's an unsound economic model. And it has been doubled down. I now begin to see that this socialist bent was intentional by the people behind the scenes, because they did want to open the floodgates at some point. So they weren't concerned that it was an unsustainable economic model. It was going to provide the excuse to allow untold millions, and I do mean untold millions, not including the so-called reported figures. I just read something, I think it was yesterday, that the data suggests that the population of Britain, Great Britain, increased by 500,000 in only the last year. 500,000 more people in Great Britain today than 1 year ago. And remember, the birth rates of the indigenous Britons, just like the rest of Europe, quite low, and similar to what we're seeing here in the United States. So the this whole socialist thing, and just like the lack of control of the southern borders and the programs that have been pursued not only by the current poser in the White House, but also previous occupants, has been an intentional influx of lower-skilled, lower-educated workers into the country. But ironically, doesn't seem to be a thirst for profits as much as it is because if they really wanted to increase profits, they would make it easier for everybody to conduct business and to make money. So there's something else at work here. There is a greed factor. There's profit at a certain high level in this whole system for people. But in the end, we're looking at a series of systems across Western Europe and North America that are intended to fail, in conjunction with a massive influx of non-Indigenous people to these countries. And it is being done in the most underhanded, dishonest way. And something that is almost never discussed in these circumstances is that the rights of the actual citizens are being trampled upon. In fact, in many ways, if you are what we would call an illegal immigrant, or someone who has been, you know, washed over in some kind of migrant wave bypassing normal immigration standards, you actually have more rights in most of these countries than you do as a citizen, particularly if you're a productive citizen. In California, there's a statistic, literally, I mentioned it the other day, that you're eligible for more in welfare if you're illegal than if you're not illegal. I mean, the rights of citizens are being trampled upon left, right, and center. And, you know, one of the reasons you don't hear about this is because, just like constitutionalism, in other words, the rule of law, is being dismissed as an antiquated thing, so is citizenship. Because they want to make everybody a citizen of the world. They want to dilute all the cultures. And they want to Islamify all of Western culture, and the Vatican is central in this, by the way. Okay, so this Brexit vote is essential because this is going to lead to the collapse of Europe, especially economically, and it, I think, will not take very long for the big problems to show up. Now, I do want to remind one thing, though, and in this is largely an economic and political thing, and there are still the same jobs, there are still the same number of people working, and there are still the same incomes to this moment. And these things will have to shake out. But without the second leg of a relatively healthy economy of Great Britain in Europe, the European Union is a one-legged stool, and as we've read recently in the news, they're having increasing problems with their migrant influx and the disingenuous nature of their government, as is the case in most Western governments. I'm looking at the information here, and I'm trying to track how it's going. Early on, the vote to at the beginning, the vote to remain in Europe seemed to be strong, and all the markets went up, presumably on the basis of the fact that the vote would be to remain in Europe. The financial markets, meaning the banks and everybody, like that. But George Soros doesn't come out of the woodwork very often. And when he does and makes very clear statements like he did the last few days about Great Britain leaving Europe, he said it would lead to widespread, disaster. Basically, it would change everything in all the economies around the world, especially the Western economies. And he has been preparing for that, strongly reducing his holdings of stocks and going into assets, as actually are all the central banks and the banks overall, the ones who essentially steer the economy for the federal banking system and so on. Anyway, at the moment, we don't know how it's going to come. I do notice one thing, though. The Remain vote from Scotland is 60-40%. So Scotland would prefer Great Britain remain in Europe. In England, the vote is 58% to leave and 42% to stay. And remember that Scotland and England are the two primary components of Great Britain. Scotland, ironically, over the last couple of years, and there was a big vote, I think, just last year in Scotland as to whether to separate from Great Britain and dissolve that union. And it was very aggressive, and they didn't get it. But they might get it now. And so without going into too much detail about this whole thing, Scotland basically runs Great Britain. There's a Scottish influence that goes through the monarchy. In Scotland, all of the national programs are given a greater portion in Scotland than they are in England. The national health care budgets in Scotland are larger per person than they are in England. I believe the salaries are higher than they are in England. In other words, there's greater funding. But also, the assistance, which is one of the word they use for welfare, is also higher per person in Scotland. And in fact, if you sort of study the system, Scotland gets all sorts of little perks, sort of like 10 to 20% advantages over the English in this Great Britain system. And so it's interesting that they would, that the Scots would prefer to stick Great Britain with Europe when they themselves have expressed a strong interest to separate. Now, they lost that vote, but you can be sure it'll come up again. At the moment, the information I have says the departure of England from Great Britain is ahead by 4 percentage points. I would presume enough of the vote is counted that that trend is probably going to persist. And it was my expectation that, in fact, because so much discussion has been given to this thing, that in fact they would vote to leave Europe. And without going into all the thing, the details, I'm going to say that, and this is why I expected this to go this way, it's because many of the prominent politicians, including the just retired, if you will, mayor of the city of London, have been pushing for an exit. Now, these are people who are entirely deeply involved in the elite system that influences events around the world. And for them to be pushing this means that in the end, they expected it to go ahead. I think that's what's going to happen. What this means to me is that it is the elites preparing to drop one more shoe in the collapse of the world financial markets, and sparing, by the way, Great Britain. And so what you're going to see is Europe collapse, whether it happens in a night or a year, I'm not sure. I think most of us would anticipate that it's going to occur and within a handful of months, and probably, as usual, sometime in the fall, September, October, November. And this time it's going to be much worse than Greece. Greece is relatively small. Italy is on the brink already. And quite frankly, they all are, except for the Norwegian countries. And even Sweden's pretty much a mess. Finland's not much better. Norway is in better shape. Denmark maybe a little bit. But in terms of continental Europe, we are looking at Western Europe. We're looking at a whole bunch of countries that have been living off of the minimal viability of their neighbors. And so I think this exit is the next stage. I believe that that was the message that the Lord gave me to title the show with, Saturday. And in fact, let me bring that up just to remind, it was a very simple and straightforward message. If I can here. So last Saturday, this is what he gave me to put in the title page of the show. It's very simple and to the point. The final countdown, Europe. Of course, that's the song by Europe, but also he's using it metaphorically. The final countdown, Europe, Brexit, which is the exit of Great Britain from the European Common Market and the European Union, and goodbye. And that's all he had. That was a very clear message he wanted to send, because he gave me no scriptures and he didn't want anything else. And so the final countdown, Europe, Brexit, goodbye. Now, I would like for that to be our goodbye, our elopement, but absolutely, I believe this was the Lord saying, yes, Europe, Great Britain is going to leave Europe. So I also think things are all around the world and in our personal experiences are really ramping up. I see a lot of clues going on. Things just seem very poignant right now. They have been for a long time, of course. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to depart immediately. but I think there's a quite strong chance of it. And so today, the title page of the show goes like this. You know, he led me to sometimes he gets themes in my mind just before I start to schedule shows. And this has a particular cadence to it, which was unintentional to begin with, but then I picked up on it right away. If you're a fan of the original Batman TV series from the 1960s, you may start to get this right away. Anyway, it goes thusly. Is this the Brexit exit? Is the collapse of Europe nearer, capital E-R? We will see. Meanwhile, back in the rapture-centric cave, our fearless, faithed crusaders to see how the Olive Team plan comes together. Will Mr. T, which is to say Toph, say, shut up, fool? Okay, so there's a Batman thing, and then the last line is about our Abba Daddy and the Olive and Toph. And that is the equivalent of the Alpha and the Omega that we read in out of the Greek. And so Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but this is a reference to the A-Team TV series where Mr. T, who's known as B.A., was the big, strong guy, and he liked to say, shut up, fool, to the people who were babbling around, including his friends that he was in this A-Team with. So anyway, so this is a mixing TV series metaphor. I haven't really done this. This just sort of came right out. Anyway, so see how the Olive Team plan comes together. And Mr. T, in this case, is Mr. Toph, which just means the Olive and Toph say, shut up, fool. We've been fools for God. Other people in this world are fools for the benefit of another spiritual entity. And he gave me a scripture, and that is Romans 8:28. And we know that in all good things, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we trust that's that our station. And anyway, he gave me that scripture, which is actually my favorite scripture. I love them all. I don't really like entirely the concept of a favorite scripture, but one day I decided that if somebody asked me what my favorite scripture was, it was going to be Romans 8:28. So that is what we have at the moment. Jason and I had a conversation a couple of days ago. His situation is continuing to kind of evolve, and Corrine has big plans that seem very prophetic based on a lot of the messages that both he and Corrine have gotten. And and she's going to be doing some traveling, and I have some other things, some things coming up myself, which will I'm going to devote myself to for a few days. I've got really got my hands full, but it's a good thing, and we're trusting him for it. So I'm poking around here to make sure. See if I was trying to get an updated number as they count these votes, but at the moment, as near as I can tell, the numbers are 52% leave, 48% remain as they count in the United Kingdom overall. And unlike the United States, for some reason, they're not telling me what percentage of the vote is in. And that's probably because both sides are furiously making ballots up behind the scenes. You know, it's really not how people vote. It's how the vote is counted. That's just the truth. But I do believe it's going to lead to a British, an exit for Britain. But remember, God is in control. Above all things, God is controlling things. And if he wants to allow this to occur, it will happen. If he does not want to allow it to occur, it will not happen. We have seen an increasing evil in the world because God is allowing it. If you want to consider it the free will provision of man, or you want to consider it God's judgment, lifting his hand of protection, in whatever means or manner you want to, the bottom line is God is allowing these things. And whether we can perceive them as good or bad, they are meant to send a message. And we are in his firm grasp, and he is definitely going to allow some things to happen to turn as many people to him as possible. We've spoken about that many times, and so this is what we're seeing play out. I mean, this is one of the reasons, even 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, even in the first Gulf War, I think a lot of people, which 1990 or so, 91, we could see that things were changing. Frankly, if you go back to 1979, that was a huge change in the world, that time period. Jimmy Carter being elected, his sort of canola brand of dealing with despots, and it led directly to the Iranian Revolution. Ever since that time, radical Islam has been on the upswing. There are a lot of other components to it, but if you follow the money, and we know the church organization, the religious organization in the world that has the most money. follow them. Stephen Danoon is doing a good job discussing and sometimes exposing the deeds of the Vatican in Jerusalem and in Judaism and around the world. And there is... He made an interesting comment. He was talking about that Russia is basically opposing the Vatican right now, and that someone said to him, he mentioned that the Pope has never been to Russia, and someone said to him, there was has reported, one of the former higher up in the Vatican said, the Pope never goes to countries that he hasn't conquered. And so the fact that the Pope visits a nation is an indication that he has conquered, that he has control. So the Pope was in the United States recently. Pope was in Cuba recently. The Pope goes to various different places. He's never been to Russia. However, remember that Russian is Orthodox Church, Eastern Orthodox Church territory, Russian Orthodox, whatever you want to call it. And the head of that branch of the organization of religion did meet with the Pope several months ago for the first time basically ever, but over 1,000 years, I think, or something like that. So they are casting their votes privately behind the scenes and different things. But the point is that this comment about the Pope never goes places he hasn't conquered, well, if you use that corollary in reverse and you look at the places he has gone, well, it tells you the places he believes he has control of. And so this is a great study if you want to have a bigger picture seeing the forest from the trees perspective of the world. And of course, we've seen all kinds of weird statements come from the current Pope. But the Vatican is nothing less than the Roman Empire, not scaled down, but morphed into a more efficient business model where a marauding was no longer as profitable an exercise. It was much cheaper to embrace religion as a means of control and voluntary offering, where one does not have to police or control borders or directly maintain an army. And through their influences, they have taken control of other nations and used those nations' armies to fight their wars. It's what the wars in the Middle East have been about. It's what the wars elsewhere. Anyway, Stephen DeNune has done continues to do a very good job discussing those things, and there's no doubt that he's being led by God to divulge these things. It's a very interesting time that we're in, and a lot more is happening than we can absolutely know in our human eyes. So the spiritual battle rages as we speak, and make no mistake that things are definitely coming to a climax, not necessarily an end, but a climax. And it's pretty cool. So we're going to see how these things go. And God is definitely guiding us. In my case, I think in Judy's case, I'm not sure in several other cases. I mean, we've been drawn away from exclusively watching and waiting to back into matters, whether it's caring of people at home or, having to re-engage economically in order to make ends meet turn our attention to other family matters, whatever the answers, whatever the things are in our particular circumstances, turning over our transportation. It's a faith walk, and what has me so encouraged right now is not that it's that much easier at the moment. And in my case, I'm still very much in my boxes. I'm still very much sort of in a suspended state because there's not too much room to maneuver. However, the trend at the moment is a little bit of a freeing of that. It's a little bit positive. It is still quite daunting as a long-term perspective, the ramifications of where he's led me and I think many of us. Nevertheless, that is what we're doing, and we're continuing to walk this out in faith as he leads us individually. And it's for him to say where we go from here, and we're waiting for that call, and it could come very soon. It might take a little while longer, but when he gave me that message last Saturday to put on the title page of the show, I can tell you for a fact that I was discerning in the spirit that it was an encouragement for our exit. Now, an encouragement for our exit, our departure, is not the same as a departure tomorrow or whatever. It is, but I was highly encouraged, and I knew he was talking about our exit as well as a Great Britain exit. And that is why I think it's so pivotal. And we are going to begin to see the God's judgments pour out in the financial markets. And from the way the vote is breaking down, it may actually turn out to be, oh, it's getting closer here. It's 49% remain, 51% leave. So it's getting narrower as the votes are being generated, counted. And so we'll see how it goes. And by the way, the change is coming in Scotland, which is probably counting their votes later than most of England. And Scotland is continuing to, so they want to stick England. This vote could be actually a vote of for the independence of England from Scotland. And that's how I see this now that I see how things are breaking down. It's not so much Scotland departing from England. What they really fear is England departing from Scotland, because Scotland has ruled the roost there through the monarchy and other elements, including the City of London. So very interesting. Scottish are continuing to print off more votes as we go. But I do believe they're getting into the up. Oh, and click back the other way. It's now 52-48. This is a live thing. So we'll see how it goes. But the Lord really directed me last Saturday to pay attention to this. Jason has some very strong leadings here of departure for us for the from before the end of the month. And I'm strongly encouraged for that, and I also believe that we're in a poignant time for all of these things for the believers who truly seek God's heart to find redemption. I think we're very close. You may see July. Might not. Okay, so that's what I had today. I'm going to play a little bit more music. I'm going to try to, I've got actually an outdoor project here that I need to try to make a little more progress on because of my plans that are coming up. Michelle is going to host tomorrow night, and that show is already scheduled. And I'm going to be out of the loop here for a handful of days and try to dedicate myself to some other things. And I assure you they are worthy of all considerations. And so, anyway, God bless. And I hope I see you in the air before I get a chance to do another show. In fact, I think I made a reference to it on tomorrow that is a chance for Michelle. Michelle's had a leading that she might be doing the last show before we poof. And tomorrow night is another opportunity for that to be the case. Praise God. So love you all. And I'm going to play a little music here. Hope you have some fun and enjoy it. And we're going to be out of here soon. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
I just can't believe where my life was at. I don't ever want to go back. Ain't no explanation how I saw the light. He found me and he set me free and he brought me.
Spirit and the bride, say come, come, glory.